Raider Nation, this is Amy Trask, and you are listening to the Black Hole Banter Podcast with James Arcelana and Q. Just win, baby.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation,
you ready for some football?
Raider Nation,
you ain't ready for no football. You ain't ready for the Oakland Raiders. It's the invasion of the Oakland Raiders. Are you ready for some football?
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome to a special edition of the Black Hole Banter Podcast. This is James Arcelana here with your boy Q. Say what's up, man.
What's up, Raider Nation? We back at it again. Black Hole Banter Podcast, a very special edition. We've been tweeting about it all week. We let you know that it was coming tonight. We were going to drop it, and this is what it is, man. James was able to pull a rabbit out the hat, and he was able to get the former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, Miss Amy Trask, others know her as the Princess of Darkness. I know that's not the name that she always likes to go by, but James was able to pull that out of the hat and be able to get her on the podcast and actually spend some time, about a good 20 minutes with her. So, James, first I got to ask you, how was the honor just to talk to her?
You know, Amy, I met Amy when we were at the Super Bowl back. You know, you were there with me, too, when we were covering the Super Bowl during Super Week. And by far, she was the most personable and amicable person I met that entire week. To be someone of such a high stature and yet be so humble and be willing to talk to anyone and talk to those people like they're her equal. You know, she didn't, you know, speak down to you like some former players might. She was very, very humble and incredibly gracious person. So to deal with someone who's had such success, who is still that humble and that kind and that friendly, is really, really an incredible thing to experience.
Absolutely. And I can back you up 100% on that, because when she was talking at the Super Bowl, she was super cool with everybody. She wasn't a big fan of the TV lights. I mean, she didn't care about the TV cameras and all that good stuff. She was just like, kind of like just me and you just standing around talking. You know, she was down for stuff like that. So very down to earth person, real humble. Great experience talking to her at the Super Bowl, and even better experience having her on the Black Hole Banter Podcast. And James, I just got to give you props, man. Good work getting her on there.
Well, and you know, it should tell you something a little bit about her, right? She's someone who has two different shows on TV where she talks football. She's an incredibly popular Twitter follow. She's someone who's probably being pulled every which way with demands for her talent, and yet she took time in the evening when she's done with work to come on the podcast like this because she loves Raider Nation and because she's so humble. So just the fact that she was willing to be on our podcast tells you a lot about her.
Absolutely. And if you haven't already followed Amy Trask on Twitter, make sure you go do that right now. It is just at Amy Trask, isn't it?
It is indeed. And let me tell you, she is an amazing Twitter follow. Even if you weren't necessarily someone who followed her a lot during her time with the Raiders, she's just an amazing Twitter follow. She's one of those people who just took to her naturally. She's super entertaining. She engages with people who talk to her. She's a really fun follow, so I would highly suggest it, following her on Twitter.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited about this interview, James. Again, good work to you. So I don't think I have anything else to say, man. Why don't you go ahead and let them have it?
All right. So without further ado, Raider Nation, here we go. We are incredibly honored to have former Raiders CEO and current CBS football analyst Amy Trask on the podcast with us today. Thank you so much for joining us, Amy.
Oh, boy. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to spend time with Raider Nation, and I really and truly mean that.
So first things first, as I noted, you were a CEO of the Raiders, and you were actually the first woman in a front office of any of the four major sports. What was it like to be able to get that kind of respect from Al Davis at a time when women just weren't given that kind of...
Well, you know, Raider Nation is well aware of this. Al was inclusive in every regard. He evaluated people without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, or religion. And you know, even to people that are Al detractors, if you will, because as Raider Nation, we know Al, and there are those outside of Raider Nation who don't care for Al, who didn't care for Al. But when I explain to them the manner in which Al hired and advanced people throughout the decades, they acknowledge that that's very, very, very special, and it is. Look, Al evaluated people and considered people and interacted with people without regard to characteristics which are irrelevant to whether or not someone can get the job done.
What about him do you think made him able to do that, to look past those issues that a lot of people clearly still have problems not looking past?
That was the man he was. Look, Al hired Tom Flores, he hired me, he hired Art Shell, he refused to play games in the segregated South because the team couldn't stay in one hotel. Al's track record for inclusiveness goes back decades and decades and decades. And, you know, you referenced my gender at the outset of this conversation. I mean, when I was hired by the Raiders, that was the mid-80s. And that was a long time ago. That was over 30 years ago. So when people stop and think about that, there are women in sports now. Hannah Gordon, the San Francisco 49ers, does a sensational job as their general counsel. Jeannie Bonk, CFO of the San Diego Chargers, does a sensational job for the Chargers. You know, women weren't... women aren't particularly numerous in such positions today, but that was non-existent back when Al was willing to say, you know what, your gender is irrelevant to me.
Yeah, it's truly amazing that he did it at such an early time. He was truly a pioneer. Now, earlier you mentioned how you're happy to come talk with the Raider Nation. That's abundantly obvious. You always talk about the Raiders fan base. To you, what sets the Raider Nation apart from other fan bases in the NFL?
Everything. Look, I'll share a story with you. We were hosting a division rival in the Coliseum in Oakland, and a conference rival. I'm not going to give up which division it was. It was not the West. We were hosting a conference rival. I misspoke. And before the game, he approached me on the field, and he said, you know, I see you before every home game. I see you when you come and play us, and you're the visiting team. You're in the stands before the games. You're walking through the stands. You're talking to all your fans. You do it before the game. You do it when the game starts. Why do you do that? And I looked at him and I said, why don't you do that? Football is nothing without the fans. And as Raiders and as part of the Raider Nation, we know how tremendous the Raider Nation is. And I will say to you with every ounce of sincerity, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I always considered it both a privilege and a pleasure to be part of the Raider Nation. So when people asked me questions like that, why do you do that? Why do you go into the stands? Why do you spend time with fans in the parking lots before the game? Why do you spend time with the fans in the stands during the game? Why do you interact with the fans in the community? Why wouldn't I? I love that. That was a privilege and a pleasure and one of my favorite things to do.
Now, obviously, you're loving your new job. You're doing very well at it. But Raiders fans would also love to have you back. Would you ever consider rejoining the team?
You know, I keep saying it was a privilege and a pleasure, and I'm saying those words over and over, but I mean them. I'm not using those words loosely. It was a privilege and a pleasure to work for the organization for almost 30 years, if I include my internship, to work for Al Davis, the opportunity of a lifetime. The decision to leave was the hardest decision I've had to make in my life. But I'm now on to a new adventure. So I cherish every day I spent with the organization, but now I'm on to another adventure. I will tell you, though, that I will not join another organization. There have been a few opportunities that have been presented to me, and to me, being a Raider is not fungible. I certainly don't pass judgment on business people that are with one team and then move to join another team, but that's not something I would ever do, even though there have been chances to do so. I was a Raider. I am proud that I was a Raider, and I don't consider being a Raider fungible with being a representative or a member of another team.
And I know, as a member of Raider Nation myself, we couldn't appreciate that anymore.
I mean, again, I want to be very clear. I'm not passing judgment on people who believe that being part of the National Football League as a front office executive or front office personnel is fungible, and that it's the National Football League, not team specific. I can't fathom putting on the colors or the logo or the clothing or a hat of another team. And I have been counseled by all sorts of people not to say that publicly because they say, Amy, you're limiting your options. Well, you know what? I don't consider those options. I have been very, very honored. I've been very, I don't know the word I'm searching for right now, but it's been meaningful to me that owners of other teams have contacted me to gauge my interest, but I can't wear the jersey of another team.
And that's great to hear because it really shows how committed you were to the Raiders, and I think most Raiders fans can relate to that. So let's talk about some football now. We know from his time in Jacksonville that Jack Del Rio is capable of taking a team to the playoffs. Do you think he's capable of taking a team all the way to the Super Bowl and winning it?
I do think he's capable of taking a team. Well, you know, let's start in phases. Whether a team makes it all the way to the Super Bowl and or wins the Super Bowl is not solely coach-specific. So, yes, Jack demonstrated in Jacksonville that he can bring a team to the playoffs. As Al said to me all the time, winning's hard to do. And so do I think Jack can bring this team to the playoffs? Absolutely, positively, yes. Do I believe he can take this team well into the playoffs? Absolutely, positively, yes. But how far a team gets into the playoffs is dependent on so many more things than just the head coach. But, you know, let me be clear. I think the change in head coach from what was before Jack Del Rio to Jack Del Rio was a very, very good change. I said so at the time on CBS that when the organization made the change and brought in Jack Del Rio, what the organization brought in was a leader, a coach who can lead a team. And we're seeing that. And the team was missing that at prior to Jack coming to the organization.
Yeah, we've obviously seen a huge step forward under Jack. Do you think the Raiders can take that next step and actually make the playoffs this season?
Well, look, the team has improved in so many positions. The offensive line should be better. The secondary should be better. The team looks to be better across the board from a personnel standpoint. The only hesitation you hear in my voice is the unknown. Look, I refer to them as the injury fairies. People laugh at that expression. I don't like to call them gods of injury because I don't want to make religious overtones or undertones. Mm-hmm. But I call them the injury fairies. And last year, the injury fairies were very, very, very good to the Raiders. The Raiders experienced very, very few injuries, certainly not at significant positions. And the Raiders faced teams who had experienced significant injuries. So if those injury fairies smile at the Raiders again this year, and if the Raiders can avoid major significant injury, and if they get the good luck, the good fortune of facing some teams, you know what, I'll even leave that out. Forget who they face as opponents. If the team can stay as injury free as it did last year, then you know what? The team should make the playoffs.
And yeah, I really hope they do because it was a pretty exceptional year in terms of injuries last year. Now, one thing that happened last year that a lot of people noticed, and myself have been trying to figure out what happened ever since the season ended, the Raiders' offense was borderline dominant to start the season, but by the end of the season, they were struggling and borderline anemic. What do you think happened to the offense that saw them struggle so hard in the second half?
Well, teams are different in the second half of the season than they are in the first half. It may have been, to some extent, opposing defenses figuring them out a bit. It may be that the Raider offense was still, in many regards, a young offense, and that should continue to, you know, Raider Nation should continue to see improvement as players play together longer, as Carr and Cooper, for example, play together longer. The offensive line should be improved this year. That's going to help. And the chemistry that develops between players who've played together for a greater period of time should help.
Now, when you're looking at the roster as it currently sits, what do you think Al Davis would do to get that one last piece to set the team over the top and really get them into the point of being an elite contender?
Okay, I'm going to confess that I'm not entirely familiar with any of the 32-team rosters at this point. I will share with you. I would say we'll keep it our little secret, but since this is a podcast, maybe it's not exactly a secret, that for the first time since being a Raider for all those years, I'm really enjoying what it means to have a summer vacation. Because the summer after I left the team was a whirlwind for me, just jumping into television and not knowing what was up or down. And the next summer, I moved from the Bay Area, so that was a little bit crazy. And now I'm enjoying a summer like I never had. Look, working for Al, summer was every day an Al and Amy day, because, you know, the coaches would go on vacation, the trainers would go on vacation, the equipment guys would go on vacation, and guess who was there every day? And Al and I, Bruce Allen once said, speaking publicly, something to Al that made me laugh and smile and say, you know what, that's pretty accurate. Bruce said, when speaking of those of us in the front office, you know, Al doesn't take vacations, so neither do we. So now I'm enjoying summer, and when I go back to CBS in a couple of months, or a little less than a couple of months, I will learn every roster of every team. I'm not ready to have that chat just yet.
Well, after all the years you've put in and as hard as you've worked, I think it's justifiable, and if not, a little bit late to be finally taking a vacation.
You know, this whole summer vacation concept, it's a good concept.
And anyone who follows you on Twitter knows you're really enjoying the beaches down in Southern California.
Yes, I am.
So now we've got to talk about it. I'm a little tired of the stadium topic, but we have to talk about it. It's such a big issue for the Raiders right now. And listening to Greg Papa's show on 95.7, he talked a lot about how Al Davis loved Las Vegas. Do you think that Las Vegas is capable of sustaining an NFL franchise?
I think you just articulated that question very, very well. You know, look, I said last year on CBS when this topic of Vegas just came up, I had a discussion about it on the show and then on CBS Radio, saying, look, gambling should no longer be an issue as relates to Las Vegas. The opposition that owners had years ago to Las Vegas, or that the league office had as well, that should no longer be an issue. It's antiquated. Because look, 30, 40 years ago, if you wanted to gamble, you went to Las Vegas or you went to Atlantic City. But now anybody with cellular or internet connectivity can gamble from anywhere. Mm-hmm. So the opposition to gambling is antiquated. And I noted at the time that, look, the league is playing games in London. And there is far greater legalized gambling in London than in most places. You know what? The league has come around to that viewpoint as well. You don't hear opposition to Las Vegas based on gambling issues anymore. And I think that's appropriate. You've hit the nail on the proverbial head. Will Las Vegas support an NFL franchise? And that's what the league is going to evaluate. And the league is going to evaluate, will Las Vegas support an NFL franchise to the extent the league wants that franchise supported? That's really the issue. Look, you know my view is that there is a deal to be done in Oakland if the team wishes to do a deal in Oakland. But we've seen that the team expended tremendous, tremendous resources, both economic and human and otherwise, or devoted those resources, I should say, towards pursuing Carson. That didn't come to pass. Now the team is devoting tremendous resources, economic, human, and otherwise, to Las Vegas. We'll see if that comes to pass. But I do believe there's a deal to be done in Oakland with compromise all around.
Now, when you were with the Raiders, you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you were working with the city of Oakland to try to get a new stadium done. What was the biggest roadblock at the time when you were working with Oakland?
Well, I think it takes compromise all around. I think the, you know, while I was working with Oakland, Gene Kwan was the mayor of the city. Libby Schaff has taken over. I no longer live in Oakland, but I certainly keep up with a lot of people who still live in Oakland. You know, while with the Raiders, I lived in Oakland. I didn't live in an outlying community. I was an Oakland resident. So, you know, I'm still in contact with my entire community of fellow Oakland residents in my neighborhood. And I've followed a little bit what Libby has done, and I'm very, very impressed with the job that she's doing in Oakland in many regards. I wish that while I was with the organization and discussing opportunities for a stadium in Oakland, that Libby had been the mayor, because I think opportunities for collaboration, for cooperation, for compromise, for intelligent, reasonable discourse exist with Libby that didn't exist previously.
So do you think that now the biggest roadblock standing in the way of a stadium being built in Oakland is simply the Raiders being willing to spend the time and effort in engaging with Libby Schaaf and the rest of the Oakland government in order to get the job done?
Well, I think it will require compromise. Look, deals of this magnitude don't get done anywhere without compromise. Had the Chargers and the Raiders been in Carson, there would have been compromise by the Chargers and compromise by the Raiders and compromise by Carson. If the Raiders go to Las Vegas, there's going to be some compromise to get a deal done. So what I believe needs to happen is for people to just step back and essentially do what I, you know, what I call rebooting, you know, hit Control Alt Delete on everything that has existed to date, reboot the relationship, and engage in what I think are the most important words in business. Communicate, cooperate, collaborate, and I'll throw in compromise.
Now, earlier we talked about Al Davis's great history of being progressive with regards to looking past someone's identity as far as it goes, minority status or sex and gender. Does it seem fitting that Ronnie Lott and his group be the first minority ownership in the NFL with the Oakland Raiders?
Well, it would be tremendous, and for many, many reasons. Look, we all in the Raider Nation know about Ronnie on the field. I had the pleasure of working with Ronnie in a business context off of the field. I'm also, and that was after his playing days, I should point out. I'm also very well aware of Rodney's business accomplishments. And by the way, they've made it a little bit complicated by having Ronnie and Rodney, and I hope I'm being articulate and stating their names clearly. I had the opportunity to work with Ronnie Lott, maybe I should use their last names, in a business context after he stopped playing, and I'm aware of Rodney Peete's business accomplishments. Those men are phenomenal examples of all that is right with the NFL, both on the field and off, and if they can help fashion a solution in Oakland, well, you know what? That would be sensational, not only for the Raider organization, not only for the Bay Area, but for the NFL as a whole. And I would think the same thing about Ronnie and Rodney, irrespective of race, religion, gender, ethnicity, no matter what. They're just sensational men.
Now, the NFL saw one of the greatest players to ever put on a jersey retire this year in Charles Woodson. And it was particularly special for Raiders fans who got the pleasure and joy of seeing him come back to the Raiders to finish his career. Did Al ever speak with you about losing guys like Charles Woodson or John Gruden, who were seen as Raider greats, to other teams?
Well, I will note, just as a footnote, it's not what you asked me, but I'm smiling as you're asking this, because we actually had the great pleasure of having Charles come on CBS with us last year on the show of which I'm a part. And I did to Charles, when I saw him, the same thing I did to you when I met you in person at Super Bowl. And I hope I didn't horrify you.
I don't think
I horrified Charles. But for the listeners, excuse me one sec. I'm just going to take a drink of something so I don't cough in your ear.
Of course.
And to be clear to the listeners, the drink of something was a drink of water. but I did. I gave Charles a giant, giant hug, and we had an opportunity to reminisce about the great, great travesty that was the Tuck Rule. So just as I hugged Charles on air, I wanted to take a moment and say I didn't horrify you when I met you at the Super Bowl and you identified yourself and in front of a gazillion people immediately embraced you. But sure,
no, I was
talked
honored.
To Al about those things. I talked to Al about those things, and there were individuals who left the team that, in different circumstances, different people. Some players leave the organization and there's an understanding as to why that happens. There's some players who leave the organization where I sensed, at least, I don't ever want to put words in Al's mouth, but where I sensed greater regret than otherwise. He had a tremendous, tremendous respect for Charles. I never heard an ill word out of Al's mouth about Charles. So, I think it was very, very sad, unfortunate. I don't know what the combination word for sad, mad is, not at Charles, but sad that he left, mad that we couldn't retain him. but always wished him absolutely, positively all the best in every single regard, as I continue to do with his off-field ventures now.
All right, so one last question before we let you go. If you could offer one piece of advice to members of Raider Nation who want to try to find success in their lives like you have, and whether it's a piece of advice that Al gave you or just a piece of advice that you've received anywhere and like to pass on, what can you tell Raider Nation?
Wow. Work hard. Work very, very, very hard. And, you know, I'm often asked a question slightly differently, which is, as you can well imagine, I'm often asked, what advice would I give young women who want to make a career for themselves in any industry? And the reason I bring that up is my answer is, in large part, as follows. My advice to young women is no different than it is to young men. Work hard. Hard work matters. Work really, really hard. And when you think you can't work any harder, find a way to work harder, because hard work matters. So I offer that advice to anyone in Raider Nation who wants to chase his or her dream.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And for Raider Nation, I also want to thank you for all the amazing things you've done for us as a fan base, and the fact that you did come up in the stands and say hi to people, and the fact that now you still interact with us on Twitter. It's greatly appreciated, and we're very happy to have had you on the podcast.
Well, I say this in all sincerity. The pleasure was absolutely, positively mine. Thank you for inviting me. Throughout my career, it was my pleasure to interact with Raider Nation, and that remains the case.
And what better way to end the podcast and the interview with Amy Trask than some great advice for Raider Nation? I know it was simple advice, work hard, but it's also super true advice, because, you know, Q and I are both an example of that. We've got this, you know, if you're from Oakland, you know this. Oakland hustles harder.
Yes.
Because we're out here on the grind constantly. I get up every morning between 3 and 4 a.m. so I can work on the podcast, work on the blog before I go to my 9-to-5 job. When we record the podcast, it's always in the evening after Q's done a full day at his job. I've done a full day at my job. But we don't understand the concept of stopping the grind. We keep going constantly because we need to provide for Raider Nation, and we want to make sure you guys have something to listen to. So Amy hit the head on the nail. I know it wasn't necessarily, you know, great advice you had, or amazing new advice you hadn't heard before, but it's also beautiful in that it's simplistic, right? Work hard. Work hard and you can get there.
Yep, exactly. And it's funny because simple is just like the Raiders colors. Simple, but they're sweet, right?
Damn right.
Best way to put it. And of course, Amy Trask, the former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, she would put it just like that. So definitely an honor to have her on the Black Hole Banter podcast. We're definitely going to have some more special guests. We got a lot lined up for Raider Nation. Please believe. I mean, me and James started this last year and it was a success, and we're going to continue to grow it, and we're going to continue to be here, and it's going to get bigger and better. And it will be your number one Raider podcast. It'll be your go-to, and we're going to continue to make that happen. Please believe that. We appreciate all the feedback, all the love we get week in and week out when we drop these podcasts on you. So, James, I know you had a couple shout-outs you wanted to give. Go ahead and knock those out, too.
Yeah, man, that's exactly. I'm glad you perfectly moved into that, because we wouldn't be able to do this if not for Raider Nation. All right, Amy Trask showed love for Raider Nation because she loved how much they embraced her, and we love how much you guys all embrace us. We love the fact that people come to us on Twitter and ask about when the next podcast is going to come out. We love that people come to us and give us critiques of our podcast, things we can do to get better. We love doing this for Raider Nation, and so we always want to try to give a shout out to our fans who support us, who listen, who download, who get other people to download. It's a huge deal and we appreciate it. We try to give shout outs at the end of every show. So if we didn't hit you before and we didn't hit you today, we'll hit you at some point. Today's names we want to give out to at @Verano_Frio, at Puerto Rican Joe, at VAC 1389, at Cali George, and it's CaliGeorgee, at Lunatic Dolphin, at DustinMatt 75, and of course at @Big_Ron 24. All yeah. Of these people hit us up constantly. They want to hook us up. They love us, and we love them back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Big shout out to Puerto Rican Joe, because I want to say, Puerto Rico!
Oh!
Puerto Rico! Oh! That was the club joint, man. You about to get me back, man. You're going to get me in trouble. I better chill it on out. But, yeah, man, shout out to all the fans that listen to the podcast, man. That's what's up, because me and James just started this podcast on a whim. Like, hey, we're going to do this and see where it goes. And because of great response, and like James said, give good feedback to help this podcast get better. We've continued to go, man. It's strong. This is a lot of episodes we've done, and it's been a lot of fun. It ain't even work, man. It's fun because we do this for Raider Nation. So I'm just honored to be a part of this. James, I'm going to keep doing what you're doing. We're holding it down a major way. Again, big ups to getting that Amy Trask interview. That's awesome. And Raider Nation, please believe that's not the last one. We have a lot more where that came from. Please believe that.
And of course, we got to give one final big shout out, and that's a shout out to Amy Trask herself. She's got a book coming out in September called You Negotiate Like a Girl. It's available now for pre-order on Amazon. Go and get it. I've already got mine pre-ordered. I can't wait for it to get here. If you're a Raiders fan, there's no reason you shouldn't want to go get this book immediately.
Absolutely. You Negotiate Like a Girl. Damn it. Go get it right now. Pre-order. Handle your business, Raider Nation. She supported us. You support her.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to go ahead and sign off in the way that Q often signs off when we're just speaking on the phone, because I think it's real fitting right now. Appreciate you, Raider Nation.
Yeah.
It's a way of life. Yeah. Raider Nation. Raider Nation.
Up top, down low. Down low, it one way. That stupid black hole. Black hole. Game time. Talk is dead. Just win, baby. Enough said. Up top, down low. Only one way, that's through the black hole. Game time. Talk is dead. Just win, baby.